All right, let's take your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, I threatened you a couple weeks ago when I preached out of this chapter about the birthing of Samson that you're probably going to hear some more about it. And so we're going to read those last two verses of this chapter, and I'm going to preach some more from these passages about Samson. I don't know if I can call this a series on Samson or not, because I kind of do my own thing. I read through there, and what speaks to me, I hit. Some guys go through, and they outline it all beforehand. I'm not quite smart enough to do that. And I read it over and over and do word studies and just trust in what the Lord gives me and lets me mine out so I can be me. That's all I can do, and I hope I can give you something to be encouragement. If you found that, stand, and we'll read two verses, verses 24 and verse 25. The Bible says in verse 24, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for my Gateway family. Thank you for these dear folks. Thank you, God, for the love you've given me for them and the love you've given them for me and the love that you've given them for one another. God, I thank you for them, Lord, and I count it a privilege to be able to stand. And God, the desire of my heart tonight is to be a help and encouragement and an uplift to them. Now, God, as I do preach, I want to remember my preacher one more time. I pray, God, that you'd bless him. God, bless Brother Josh and those dear folks at this church. God, you know what the Pastor Shelton's going to face in the next few weeks. God, the how he's going to spend himself. And I pray, God, in these nights of meeting as he's going to try to help those folks, God, that you'd help him. Now, God, I want to thank you one more time for the good reports we've heard, for the prayers that have been answered. Thank you, God, for saving these souls. Now, God, I ask that you would help me tonight, help folks to hear. I pray, God, that you'd liberate this service and you'd accomplish your purposes. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, if you read your Bible at all, no matter what I say or preach tonight, it's going to be overshadowed by how we know this story is going to end. We know how Samson's life ended. We know, though he was in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, he died by his own hands in the hands of the enemy. And he died with the thought process that he could have done so much more. So that's in the back of our mind. But even though we know that, when I read these verses, I see some truth. Samson had everything that he needed to succeed. And we as children of God have everything that we need to succeed. A matter of fact, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and to virtue." God has given us everything we need. Somebody says, "Well, I don't, a lot of things we may not know mentally how to do or have the knowledge how to do." God's given us all that we need to succeed. What, and I think about Samson, what put him in the position to succeed? And I'm going to try to answer those questions tonight, and you can look at this message in two ways. One, I think you could look at it from a parent's perspective on how to put your children in a good place where they can succeed. Or two, you can just look at it as a child of God that wants to do exactly what God would have you to do and try to succeed in that. So I want to preach a message tonight titled "Dressed for Success." Dressed for success, or you, if you want to do a little more, or I don't guess it'd be simple, but I really think this is the secret of Samson's strength. What made Samson the man that he ought to be? But let's look at just a couple things in our text tonight. The first thing I want to mention tonight, and I may rehash some things that I preached last time just a little bit, but first I want to mention his arrival. The Bible says in verse 24, "And the woman bare a child." Now, that's just a few simple words, but I want to tell you, when you look at the full chapter and you see the significance of the fact that this child was born, those words share great significance. And let me just say this right now. If you're ever going to succeed in life, there has to have been a birth in your life. I'm not talking about a first birth. I'm talking about a second birth. The saying is, if you've been born once, you die twice. But if you've been born twice, you die once. Amen. And you must be born again is what the Bible says. But I want to just look at a couple things about this arrival tonight. First of all, I want to look at his parents. Now, I think of his parents, Manoah and Mrs. Manoah. We've already established that her name was not mentioned in her text. But I want to look at them. When I think about these parents, you know, when you read this text, this servitude under the Philistines was the longest servitude that Israel was involved in their pattern of apostasy and bondage and crying out to God and deliverance and apostasy and bondage and crying out to God and deliverance. It was a constant circle in the book of Judges. But as we come to this in the Philistines, I just said it was the longest bondage that they had faced. But what you don't find is you find no one crying out to God for deliverance in this situation. So the very act of God sending Samson was just an act of his own divine mercy and grace upon these people. But still in this day, he found some people. I think of what kind of character of a person would he have come to let them this child be born. He had to find, because he put strict demands. We've got into those demands, and I won't do that to you again tonight. We got into those demands the other night. He had to find somebody that he could trust to carry out those demands that were placed upon them as far as their prenatal demands and then the demands on raising Samson. But I think about his mother. Now, what kind of woman was Miss Manoah? Well, she was visited by an angel. That puts her in a pretty high caliber. I remember a woman in the New Testament that was visited by an angel and given news of a birth. I think about that the way that she was subject to her husband. Do you see that in those verses? Have you read this chapter? Just as quick as she got news, she ran to Manoah. And Manoah said, well, go pray. God will do it again. She went right back and prayed. In Ephesians 5:22, still in the Bible, amen, about women being subject to their husbands, but those other verses in there about husbands loving their wives is Christ loving the church is in there too, okay? You can tell me which one you think is more impossible, and I'll tell you which one I think is. But then we find this woman praying. It sticks out in my mind. And in chapter 13, after Manoah had given her those instructions, and verse number 9, it says, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. What in the world was she doing just sitting out in the field? What do you think she was doing? I don't have any authority on this. Nobody, no commentators ever answer the questions that I want answered. But I believe she's out there waiting. I believe she's out there sitting waiting on the Lord. I believe that this woman was a good woman. I think of his father. I think of Manoah. What do we know about him? Honestly, the verse I just read, he was seeking the Lord. He asked God to send that one back. He didn't know if it was an angel. So when he came back, he was honoring what he thought was a man of God. He took him in. He was feeding him. He was trying to show him respect and show him provision. That's a sign of a pretty good man. You tell a lot about people how they treat the man of God. That's pretty good preaching right there. Amen, buddy. You can tell a lot about people by their attitude of that authority in their life. You did know that pastor's an authority in your life, right? You knew that? The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for their souls. This man is pastor in this pulpit to give an account over you. And so I encourage you to respect that. That's free. I won't charge you nothing for that. That ain't in my notes, huh? You know me. I give all kinds of free stuff out while I'm preaching. But he feared God. He had faith. Think about this man's faith when he came back and he was asking for instructions of how they were to raise that child. I mean, he was submitted to that authority. In verse 17, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, that we may do thee honor. He didn't say if they come to pass. He said when they come to pass. He had no doubt he was a believer. Boy, what a testimony. What a home to be born into, and the fact that he just feared God. You remember when he thought he had seen God, he said, we're going to die. And of course, his wife was able to give us a good biblical counsel there. Said, if the Lord is going to kill us, he wouldn't let us have a child. But I think about these parents, the good place he was born into. Now, think about this. It's just a thought. You know, that family, that's a good type of the church. And boy, it's awful key if you're still going to succeed to be in the right church, to be in with the right family. Boy, isn't it good to be in the right family? Ain't it good? I tell you, it's good, brother. It's good to be around family that you can count on, that you can pray with, you can praise with, you can weep with. You may have forgot what it's like before you got in church. You may have forgot when you, what you went through alone. You may have forgot what it was not to have somebody to pray for you or care about you, but it's good to be in a family. The closest people I have in this world are connected with this church. The best friends I have in this world are connected with this church. And praise God for the church. So I think that put him in a position to succeed. But I have to say something about God's promise here. Remember, I just said that the woman bare a child. That wasn't an accident. This was already mentioned by that angel at the start of the chapter. In verse number 3, he showed up to a barren woman. A woman, you know what that is, I'll explain that. And told her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. He put a double blessing on her. You're not going to have the reproach of barrenness anymore, but you're not just going to have a child. You're going to have a man child. You're going to have a son, and the blessing of what that son would do. I think the character of God's promise. God always keeps his word. You hear me? God cannot lie. God will always be true, but I want to say this. I want to talk about the capability of God's promises. He can make promises. He can do the walk, because he can do the walk the walk. Amen. God can. God gives his promises that he will, but I'm glad he can. I just want to throw that in, brag on the Lord for just a minute. But I think about his arrival, but then there's his advancement. The Bible goes on to say, and the child grew. Well, that seems awful obvious, right on the end of your nose there. Babies are born and they grow. But think about that word. We know that grow has to do with stature and size and just getting bigger. But that word grow has a little more than stature. It means to advance, to improve, to make progress, as to grow in grace, in knowledge, in piety. So think about it involved not just his stature, but involved skills. I mean, Samson, obviously, as you think about him growing up, I mean, we know what happens down the road. We know he could fight. We know he could kill wild animals. We know that he had skills, that God was birthing skills in his life that he could use to carry out the purpose that he had for him. And God, as a child of God, God's given you abilities. And as you grow, we need to exercise those abilities. Hey, if you have the gift of gab, you hear me? If you can talk to people, bless God, you ought to be witnessing to people. If God has given you the ability to put notes together, make melody, bless God, you ought to be singing. If you've got a gift that you can hurt for people and it gets on your mind to send people cards and comfort people, do it. Do it. He's given you that heart. He's given you that burden. I said a while ago, he's given you tools, but God wants you to do that, the skills. I think about the knowledge that came along with it. Solomon was Samuel, an exception for women. He was a fairly intelligent man. I mean, you remember that riddle he put before them about the lion? I mean, God let him grow. And that's just examples. But then he grew in standing. And God, moving on him, you'll see that. He began to build a reputation and build a testimony. Let me say this. If you're going to serve God, let it be known of you that you're a Christian. Let it be known of you that you do right. We need a testimony. It matters what people think. It does. See, well, you're not justified by works. Before men you are. Before men you're justified by works. Now I want to tell you, is your report believable? What makes your report believable? What would make people believe that day when Samson began to lead the way to begin to deliver those people? What would make that believable? They looked back and they saw some evidence in his life that God had done something. I think of young preachers and there may be other young folk, young men, or you for future reference. It ought not to be a shock. When a young man gets up and says, God's called me to preach, people ought not to scratch you without a seen something on you. Something about your reputation, that you're living light, living clean, that the preacher don't have to defend you. That's just an example of that. And just to think about that. But he was prepared. These things prepared him before men. Now this advancement shows us what I'll call the human aspect. But we look at these next two things real quick. We're going to look towards the God aspect of this dressing for success, or the spiritual aspect. Well, the Bible goes on to say, and the Lord blessed him. I want to mention not only his arrival and his advancement, but let's look at his approval. Now, think about that word blessed. When you look at somebody and you say, God bless you. or you begin to pray, Lord, bless Brother Terry. What are you asking the Lord to do? Now, honestly, that may seem as simple to you as flipping a light switch on the wall. But let's put it in words. What does that mean to you? For you to say, I want God to bless you. Now, I see two things in this word I want to bring to you tonight. I see the graciousness of it. This word, blessed, as I've tried to study and look at it, it has more to do with what man does to God, because it has to do with bowing the knee. Here's how blessings work. I mean, here, I'll give you this, and I'm going to go back to what I was talking about. God blesses us, we bless God, and we bless one another. But get back to what I was trying to say. So it just seems odd. It's something that God don't bow the knee to man. This is more than something man needs to be doing to God. So this gesture that God is making to man is just a full out act of graciousness towards us. And we know what grace is. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And I deserve nothing. And as planned out as Samson's life was, and as ordained as his mission was, still, I don't feel like God owes us anything. I know he's our creator, but yet he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He's got heaven for us. I mean, what else would he ask for? But yet God chose some way, some form to put a blessing on Samuel to bless him. Now, think about this word blessing. It means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, for effective life, or longevity. So I see the graciousness of it, but that tells me there's generosity in it. Boy, isn't God good to us. I already said God gives us everything that we need. I mean, God knew the day that I was birthed into the world, that what he had planned for me. I mean, all through my life, he positioned me and he plotted my course. He gave me the ability to do what I do. He gave me the ability to somewhat lead a choir. He gave me the ability to hold up the hands of another man. He gave me that. I just didn't decide that. And God bless me. I mean, not that it's good, but the fact that he'd put me somewhere and give me what I needed to do it and give me the people to do it with. Hey, you know what? Can I just say something? Wouldn't it be awful to have to do this in a dead, dry church? Wouldn't it be awful to be doing it with a dead, rotten Bible? Those other Bibles, they are dead, rotten Catholic Bibles. But wouldn't it be awful? But man, it's just good to do it in a place that God has prepared for you. Let me say something about this blessing. God is the only source. God blessed Samson. God blessed you. God bless me. I think about Jeff out there in Arizona. He said, I was trying to witness to Jacob. He said the words was just a coming. He said, God was loading me down. God bless Jeff. And Jeff blessed Jacob. And God bless Jacob. What a blessing. But the generosity of it. See, I tell you, this thing, this blessing, what God was doing, he was putting his approval on Samson. That's what he was doing. And you've seen this. I think through the years of being in the ministry, God calling young men out, or God calling missionaries out, and everybody's trying to preach and do whatever. There's a few that you've come across and just, you couldn't quite figure out what it was about that one. But God just chose in his divine providence to put his hand on him. Do you know why? You know why he did that? He's dressed for success. Amen? And I'll throw it at you. I got some other stuff I'm going to say to you preachers. You may not love me real good in a minute. But the number one approval we need in this life, you don't need my approval. It'd be a blessing if I approved. But you don't need my approval. I don't necessarily need your approval. But I want to tell you, I need God's approval on what I do. I need God's approval in what I do. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. If you have God's approval and I'm trying to walk with God, you'll have my approval. If I have God's approval and you're trying to do right and walk with God, I'll have your approval. But the last thing we see in our text in verse number 25, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. I see this anointing. Now, I wish I could explain the significance of what I see in these words, but it says the Spirit began to move him. The word on is not in there. It began to move him. So I think about this. What is the purpose of what I call this anointing or this work that God is doing here? The first thing I think about, I know that he is on the little end of something big. And I reminded God, when he births somebody and he equips them, he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for their lives. Now, I didn't really intend to go this far, men, but fellas, if God called you, if you'll let him, he'll give you everything you need. I don't know what God's got for young preachers. I don't know where God wants you, but he's got the perfect spot. He's got the perfect place. He's got the perfect plan. Just be where he wants you to be. Do what he wants you to do. But he had a little end of something big. The purpose, one, was to stir it. I think about where they are, but in that camp of Dan, that was right there on the border of where the Philistines live. That was a blessing. Down the road, it's going to be a cursing, because he's living so close to where they were. But there on that border, he could see what was going on. He could probably see those Philistines coming in and out of the country. He could probably see what they were doing. They had disarmed Israel. He could probably see how Israel had been content and just doing what they could to get along and to get by. Maybe they didn't bother them at all that they were being treated wrong. But boy, Samson could put his eyes on that. And God stirred something in his heart, said, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Boy, it may be like us trying to go through our lives and see people burdened down, seeing people lost, seeing people living below their means. That ought to burden our heart, stir us up. Hey, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to die that way. Thank God I want more. God stirred his heart, gave him a burden for service. Not just a burden, but he gave him a boldness to respond. He was a one-man show. You're going to find out as if you read these texts or read the story, he was a one-man show. At one point, the whole crowd turned him over to the Philistines. I mean, he was a one-man show. It had to take courage. And see, even at this point, I don't know what God did. I don't know what the movement was. I don't know if he was lifting up boulders or showing his great strength. I don't know at what point in his life that manifested itself. It might have been, it had to be that one day he had just taken a step of obedience of faith and then it was there. I don't know. But God gave him boldness to act. And I'm going to tell you something. If we ever needed boldness to act on our faith, it's now. I was walking last night and I was praying. I was thinking about sometimes we get scared and we're afraid to talk. And I don't think it's about fear. I think it's about pride. If you're afraid of what people think, and if I'm afraid of what people think, I'm full of pride. That's free too. I'll give you that. But boldness for service, he gave it to him to strengthen him or to stir him, but he gave it to him to strengthen him. God knows this better than we do. I hope I've got a good grasp of it now, but we can't act on our own might. Whatever you want to do for God, any of these things I mentioned, you ought to preface it and pray before you do it, pray while you're doing it, pray after you do it. That God would be glorified in what you do and he'd carry out his purposes. To strengthen. I'm glad there's strength in the Lord. Amen. I'm glad there's strength beyond measure. I'm glad there's power. I'm glad God will make me able. If it's preaching to 5 or 5,000, if it's singing, or if it's preaching to people that's for me, if it's preaching to people that's against me, if it's witnessing one-on-one or witnessing to a crowd, wherever it is, I'm glad, thank God, he can give you the boldness, but not just the boldness, but he can give you the power to carry it out. And really, that's how New Testament Christianity is supposed to operate. But let me just say this, and food for thought, but think of the period of this. The Bible says that it happened at times. Now, right off the bat, I understand that the ministry of the Holy Spirit was different in the Old Testament than it was the New Testament. The Holy Spirit ascended and descended in the Old Testament. But in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus got to heaven, the Holy Ghost came and stayed. I can live. I live every day with the Holy Spirit in me because I'm a child of God. That's the evidence that I'm saved. But I can live in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But in the Old Testament, Samson at times, what times? God's times, right times. Every time he needed it, right on time. But I'll give you this and we'll close. I want to mention the place of this anointing. It happened, I said, at the camp of Dan. I want to tell you what, you're living for Jesus and your success starts at home. It starts at home. If you can't live it at home, you can't live it anywhere. If you're going to live it at school, you got to live it at home. If you're going to live it on the job, you got to live it at home. I will tell you, it ought to be our everyday practice. This should not be just something that we do. It should be who we are. See, I think I mentioned this in Sunday school, Acts chapter 1. And verse 8 says, "Ye shall be witnessing to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." And if you look at that on a map, every time he mentions the city, Jerusalem, Judea, a little bit further. Samaria, a little bit further out. It keeps expanding. So it's starting at home. The man that Jeff led to the Lord the other night, two houses down. Starts at home. And I tell you, but it starts, God showed himself in the life of Samson at home. And I tell you what, you know what the church is made up of? Homes. You know, parallel the church is homes. God ordained two institutions on this earth. You know what they are? He ordained the home and he ordained the local church. And they operate the same way. And let me ask you tonight. Are you dressed for success? Are you helping dress your children for success? I tell you, I want to honor the Lord. And I want to tell you, you look and you see what was set before Samuel. Samson. Everything he needed. But still he had a choice. Where did Samson wind up? He wound up blind. Wound up leaning on two pillars asking God for one more chance for vengeance. That ain't where I want to end up. I want to end up doing exactly what God wants me to do. That's success. It's not measured in number. It's not measured in dollars. It's measured in obedience. And if Samson had just obeyed, he'd have succeeded. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your help tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd just take what's been said tonight. Lord, I know I fall short. God, I pray that you'd just take these words and minister to that heart tonight. Lord, whatever it is, God, I'm not going to try to figure it out. God, I know your word always works. And I pray that you'd help folks just to be sensitive to where you've spoken to their hearts. Lord, I want to please you. And like all these people, Lord, there's exploits that Samson performed in his life that we'd all want to be a part of. But God, it's so clouded by the failure. And God, help us, God, not to fail you, but bring glory to your name. God, I pray that you'd have your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Scott's going to sing. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you just be obedient to how he spoke to you tonight.